This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
So when we started off today, I said shishe, and I said spasibo, and I said hari, and thank you. And that's because in the last 2-3 weeks of January, we've seen senior diplomats coming in from Russia, the United States, and also China. This week, Janet Yellen, who is the Treasury Secretary, is meeting with her counterpart, Minister Enoch Godongwana, as they discuss all matters of economic strategic importance and cooperation between the two countries. And it's largely because President Biden has issued a directive that this needs to be an era of increased engagement with Africa to make up for the lost years when Africa wasn't a foreign policy priority for the government of Donald Trump, but also, I guess, to address the issue of lost market share with the rise of Chinese investments and credit lines to Africa. At the start of January, Xinjiang came to Africa, the newly appointed Minister of Foreign Affairs or Head of Africa Relations in China. And of course, earlier this week, the Russian Sergei Lavrov met with his counterpart, Minister Naledi Pandor. Now, what does this all mean for Africa in a year of increased engagement by the Americans, but South Africa in particular? And we also know that in February, they're going to be joint military exercises, naval exercises rather, including the Russian, the Chinese and the South African Navy. What the South Africans have said is, it's just a way to test the fitness of the South African Navy and our own warships to defend our land in the event of any attacks. You know, any country needs to have an army and a navy that's ready to defend. It's not a sign that South Africa will be entering any wars, and certainly not a sign that there is a war looming with the United States, as some listeners have suggested. But what do you make of all these visits? We're joined by Thembisa Fakude. You know him now, Senior Research Fellow for the Africa-Asia Dialogues. And always great to have you, Thembisa. Good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So what do you make of all these senior diplomats visiting our shores?
I think it's a sign that Africa is becoming important once again to all of these countries in terms of them trying to resuscitate their engagement with Africa. It's going to be economics moving forward, but also politics will also be on top of the agenda. We know that all of these three big countries are pushing their own political agenda in terms of their global dominance. So it's very interesting. What's troubling is the military drill feature, at least for me, where I sit. That's the only thing which I think many of us are not used to in South Africa. And it seems that the Europeans are also going to be joining the fray, because US have done it. China and Russia are going to be doing it between 17th and 27th of February. And then the EU has also indicated to be doing the same. So interesting times ahead, but also going to be, as we discussed last time, a very, very busy year for South Africa and President Cyril Ramaphosa.
So people have looked at this Operation Musi, is what it's called, the naval drill involving Russian and Chinese warships. Some eyebrows have been raised as to why must South Africa participate in a drill? But I love the word drill, you know, is in the same way in which you'd have a fire drill. Doesn't mean there's a fire in the building. It just means you're getting the protocols right in the event, if ever there was to be a problem. So why would people see that as something untoward?
Well, it's untoward because it's happening. It's gonna have that anniversary of the invasion of Ukraine by Russia sandwiched in between. So it happened on the 20th of February, 2022, and during that time when the Ukrainians will be not celebrating but commemorating that invasion, South Africa will be basically having these drills with invaders. So it doesn't sound good, at least diplomatically appropriate. It's going to upset a lot of Ukrainians, and we are likely to see countries and other media institutions highlighting this. So it might just be another spate in the face of South Africa. Mm.
So the optics aren't right is what you're saying. The timing is not appropriate. But in itself, is there a problem with doing naval exercises? If they postponed them to March, would it make any difference?
Well, we are known for diplomacy. We are known for pushing negotiations before military interventions. We're not known for military might. So this is a new trajectory that South Africa is taking, and I think it's going to begin to communicate certain messages, particularly that we're involved in Cabo Delgado in Mozambique. And we might just be expected to engage militarily in other places. Ready for that or not is another story. Sergei Lavrov indicated that South Africa has always been calling for the reform of United Nations Security Council. And if South Africa does continue with this, we might just find ourselves in the club of who decides who lives and dies in the world, which I'm not quite sure whether we're ready for.
Okay, so South Africa also needs to pick its friends carefully when it's doing naval exercises. I just don't want to belabor the issue of the military, but just one last issue. There was that very sorry situation where South Africa, even though it's a country at peace, it has contributed troops to UN peacekeeping in Central Africa, particularly in the DRC through MONUAC and in the Central African Republic. And there was that unfortunate incident a few years ago where the convoy of South African soldiers in a humanitarian mission were ambushed by rebels, I think it was the Central African Republic. And because they were so ill-equipped, they were ambushed and they found themselves cornered into a derelict building without ammunition to fight back, not even with the right military regalia. So isn't there a case to be made for the South African military to beef itself up, even if not for war, even for simple things like being able to protect themselves on peacekeeping missions?
I think so. I mean, there's videos that are circulating, popularly known as Mabena videos, which seek to ridicule South African military. And you're correct, you know, are we really ready to be taking up these responsibilities given the preparedness or the level of preparedness of our military? So those are the questions that we need to answer. We are really punching way above our weight and exaggerate our capabilities. So we need to look at that. And South Africa, I think, is entering into a very dangerous frail. In Mozambique, for example, we're not there as peacekeepers, but we are there to defend, which means that we're fighting the insurgents there, whether it's Al-Qaeda or not, in Cabo Delgado. So we are entering a new frail. And Russia is busy in Africa using its Wagner Group, for example, amongst others. And what will stop Russia from pushing certain partnerships with Wagner Group, which is a paramilitary army that's making money in Africa with South Africa in future?
So what you're saying is it might look like a drill, which is just a simple exercise, not a provocation of war. But when you look underlying, you start to see that actually South Africa's defense policy and foreign policy are starting to coalesce in a dangerous way.
Yes, indeed. And most of these drills, by the way, are marketing strategies. So often countries that produce arms use these drills to demonstrate their new products. South Africa hasn't got much because Denel is almost collapsed. But I'm not quite sure what's in for us. Why do we have to engage in this drill?
Okay, so let's look at what's happening on the economic diplomacy side of issues. Janet Yellen, as we speak, is in the country. She is highly respected. She's even the former governor of the American Reserve Bank, known as the Federal Reserve, through eras of stimulus and stabilization of currencies in the world. So she is a highly respected, renowned economist, and she's here meeting with Ino Godangwane. And one of the things she's already started talking about is, you know, the concern around South Africa's energy security, where America might be able to help. But some people are also already listening to that statement and saying, no, this is the new scramble for resources. What do you make of it?
I think so. President Biden, a couple of weeks ago, announced that he intends proposing the inclusion of African Union as a permanent member to the G20. Mm. So that's business. Second is our president, Cyril Ramaphosa, has already made undertakings, and South Africa has accepted the $55 billion to transition from fossil into green or clean energy. So we are going ahead with this transitioning, which is business for many countries that have got capabilities. And South Africa is going to be taking that opportunity. But over and above that, BRICS is, particularly the New Development Bank, is a threat because it seeks to compete with the IMFs and the World Banks of this world. And it has to be countered somehow. And I think the Americans realize the trapping of allowing BRICS and its bank to flourish in Africa. So they will come up with goodies that will prevent African countries from joining the BRICS bank, but continue to do business with the Western countries. And South Africa is well placed. I think the just energy transition, it's one big, very, very big business henceforth. And those that are not going to be into that have themselves to blame, and South Africa is taking that opportunity, and Americans are here to ensure that they are prioritized in terms of contracts.
Often when the Americans are in town, people can't help but to do a comparison, a juxtaposition with the Chinese who were in town, or on the African continent rather, also earlier this month, particularly Ethiopia. China's new head of Africa relations, Qin Yang, was here. And the Americans, or some officials, have raised issues around the rising debt burden of Chinese loans to Africa. And yet China's written off many of those loans. Why would they raise these issues? Because, you know, many African nations have also been indebted to America through various agencies.
Well, I think it's all about the campaign of discouraging the expansion of China's social, political, and economic programs in Africa. And Americans, unfortunately, are catching up after having ignored Africa for a very long time. So now they are kind of fast-tracking those objectives, including, to a large extent, also proliferating some sort of smear campaign. Or campaigns on China. Russia is, on the other hand, involved in Africa for different reasons, totally different to China. But, you know, Africans will have to choose at some point who they engage with, because we need to avoid the trapping of having to choose between, you know, whether you're with us or against us, position that Americans often imposed in the past. So this time around, I think we the Africans will have the right to decide whether they want to engage both nation on a friendly and developmental position or not. But that, again, will take leadership. But I'm of the view that if AU is seconded into G20, it might just be very difficult for Africa to continue acting independently.
All right, we're in conversation with Thembisa Faguda, a senior research fellow at the Africa-Asia Dialogues.
Power Talk with Lerato Mbele.
Absolutely. So thank you for staying with us. And Thembisa Faguda is with us. You know him well. Senior Research Fellow at the Africa-Asia Dialogue. So we've alluded to the fact that Sergei Lavrov was here and that Russia will be participating in these naval drills. But there are other issues. And, you know, economists say the imported inflation that the world is buckling under right now is directly linked to the conflict in the Ukraine and the shutting down of supply chains for gas, for fertilizer, for some grain feeds, for chicken, and for sunflower oil and the like. And that higher prices for food, for fuel, can be linked directly and can be put squarely at the door of the Kremlin. Would this have been an issue that comes up in the visit this week?
Yes, it was actually a dominating issue. Sergei Lavrov tried very hard to explain why Russia went to invade Ukraine. And Naledi Pandor also spent significant time trying to explain why South Africa took the position that it took in terms of sitting on the fence, or South Africa saying that it prefers negotiations over taking sides with the the countries involved in this conflict. So it was a dominating issue. Sergei Lavrov, one of the reasons he was here, he was trying to reassure Africans that the export of grain, particularly from Ukraine into Africa, which has been disturbed over the past before Turkey intervened, that flow will continue because African countries are concerned in terms of this inflation as a result of prevention by Russia of the export of grain and food from Ukraine, which is one of the biggest exporter of grain into Africa. So one of the reasons why he's in Africa is to try and reassure Africans that that's the case, because Africans are complaining about inflation, as you correctly put it. The price of energy is also skyrocketed as a result of this. So Africans are not really interested in the war, but they're interested in ensuring that life continues as normal in their respective countries. And I think what Sergei Lavrov is going to do as he continues with his visits to all these other African countries, he's going to try and reassure those countries that the business will be as usual.
All right. So this year, South Africa assumes the chairmanship of BRICS. So that's another important meeting after G20 and other diplomatic events that will take place in the world. But this is really where South Africa can leverage its voice, its interests, this idea of it's being a gateway into the rest of the African continent. I don't even know if people still see it that way. So what are the issues South Africa is going to have to navigate as BRICS comes to our shores?
Well, one of the things that South Africa is going to navigate is to, one, they have to promote, they've already embraced this new package of the just energy transition. So that will have to be discussed. South Africa won't be able to avoid discussing the war in Ukraine, since that President Cyril Ramaphosa comfortably sits in the G20 and is well received by the Western countries. So there will be some who will be whispering certain things to him to communicate to BRICS, particularly Vladimir Putin. So South Africa is likely to play that role. Naledi Pandor indicated that there could be some negotiated settlement between Russia and Ukraine. So South Africa might just begin to play that role. But also at the same time, South Africa will have to oversee the expansion of BRICS, which might just put it in another difficulty, because the countries that have indicated to join BRICS, countries such as Egypt, Iran, Saudi Arabia, these are countries with very, checkered human rights records. And if that happens during the tenure of President Cyril Ramaphosa, might just leave a stain. So South Africa is in a much more serious situation this year in terms of these responsibilities and decisions that it has to make. But we hope that President Cyril Ramaphosa will be more consultative with his other colleagues and counterparts within BRICS. And this must be seen as a collective decision instead of one particular country influencing this decision.
And, Thembisa, there's something we never really speak about. I mean, we complain a lot and there are a lot of things that are not working in South Africa, and I know you try to temper that. But what are the blind spots in diplomacy that South Africa really needs to make sure that the messaging doesn't get lost in translation?
South Africa must stick to what's known for. As far as I'm concerned, we are known for this promotion of human rights, pushing negotiated settlements, as Naledi Pandor correctly says. So we need to avoid being forced into new positions of being known as a military might, and that could create a problem. So that's one, for me, important diplomatic position that South Africa should always insist on. We need to start, emphasizing on that brand, South Africa, which we are known for. But I think over the past couple of years, with this, flip-flopping in terms of our foreign policy and making certain strange decisions, whether it was in Libya or Ukraine, it has really compromised that brand, South Africa, that we're known for.
And as we end the conversation, the truth is this: you can't be something that you're not. So if brand South Africa has lost equity, it's because things are not working in the country, and you can only regain the status of brand SA by South Africa starting to behave properly, as they say. They got to start acting right in South Africa.
No, that's true. And we've got so much going on, but it's very difficult to have South Africa behaving at least internationally, in an appropriate or usual manner, if inside South Africa we have so many problems. And we have a president that's trying, and in most instances he's seen as if he's a lone wolf in terms of reform and fighting corruption when his other counterparts within the ANC are doing the opposite.
You see, on this one, we're going to have a whole nother conversation, and you're going to have to bring a bottle of whiskey. You're going to need it. Thembisa Fakude, Senior Research Fellow at the Africa Asia Dialogues.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.